Welcome to the Inspired Change Summit, presented by Earth is Waking Up. This is your host, Jeremy Anderson. Today we're going to be talking about LED light therapy with our honored guest, Wesley Burwell. Wesley Burwell is one of the most influential thought leaders and healers in the light therapy field. Wes attended college in Ontario, Canada to be an engineer. After years in the engineering field, he shifted his focus to alternative medicine after a family relative developed cancer. In a vision, Wes saw very clearly the benefits of light therapy and set himself on a lifelong path to help everyone he meets with this new and innovative technology. Wes began his studies in energy medicine over 8 years ago and became a certified quantum biofeedback specialist, dealing with stress management and helping numerous clients return to health. Along the way, he accomplished the groundwork for certification as a holistic health practitioner, as well as kickboxing and martial arts instructor and spiritual health coach. Wes approached energy medicine from the basis of electrical theory and physics and found that they are intricately involved on a cellular level. Wes has mastered many types of energy medicine, biofeedback, electroacupuncture according to Vol, infrared therapies, ionic detoxification, homeopathy, nutrition, exercise programs, detoxification protocols based on hormone toxicology, Ayurveda, crystal therapy, Reiki therapy, reflexology, intent work and visualizing, EFT techniques, samadhi meditation, low-level laser therapy, and LED light therapy. Wes has toured extensively for the past 5 years as an international speaker on laser therapy utilization and principles. He has worked as technical support director for two different companies and helped design and develop new and innovative light therapy products. Currently, Wes internationally speaks on light therapy principles, application, and usage of LED-based devices. Wes also serves clients at Awakenings Wellness Center in Ontario, Canada. Welcome, and thanks for being on the show, Wes.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So most of the speakers I've not had the chance to meet with in person, and I feel honored and blessed to have had the chance to meet with you in person a couple times at least now, and really appreciate your energy, your helpfulness, your stick-to-itiveness of being there for the person, whatever it is they're looking for help on, and then your sharp understanding of what's going on underneath and what might be helpful for the person. So, anyway, really, really appreciate your presence. So this topic is one that I've not seen a lot on the market. And when I have seen it, it seems like it's usually been sort of highly cherished, and so not a whole lot available to the public. I know that there's ways to look some of the research up, but there's not a whole lot of people in the public talking about it in comparison to some of the other modalities that I've seen. And so I'm really excited to be bringing this light therapy out on this summit, and really glad to have your willingness and availability here to talk about this with us. So could you talk a little about how you found your way into light therapy? It seems like you've covered a lot of technical ground and then found your way into this. And I know that a lot of times when we go down our path, we keep going toward what's better and even better and even better. And then when we stick with something, it's usually the best thing we know of. And so I think that's pretty telling. And so I wonder if you could explain a little more about your journey there.
Sure. As you mentioned, I started off with biofeedback, and it's kind of more like a microcurrent base type device, which sends signals into the body, and of course, then it can pick up on how the body reacts. I used this to begin with, working extensively with my sister-in-law who had developed cancer, and she had a tumor about the size of a softball in the chest, and they thought it was on the thymus gland. But it actually turned out it was actually on the blood vessel of the heart. And we got it to, by using that, relaxing her body, helping to engage the parasympathetic nerve system via the device, it allows the body to, you know, all the fluids, everything to move properly, and hence this is what assisted the body to be able to detoxify. So we were able to get the tumor size down to about the size of a small acorn, walnut size. And at this point, the doctors decided to go ahead with an operation, whereas before they were not even considering it because of the size and proximity.
Well, real quick, how were you guys able to shrink it down?
Just help assisting her body. When you engage the parasympathetic nervous system, you're telling the nervous system to relax, the muscles, everything else. This is one of the biggest impediments to people's health in the first place is stress. When you're stressed, you know, your muscles are constantly clenching. A restricted muscle or a muscle that's constantly firing never gets a chance to take a break. And of course, it can accumulate metabolic waste in the tissue. And when that stays too long, well, then it starts going down what I call the hemotoxicology trail. You go into a state of inflammation and then accumulation and then degeneration. And so pretty much all cancers, you know, follow that kind of same pathway. They don't just usually occur, you know, instantaneously overnight unless there's a complete direct mutation. But either way, the body has the ability to take those cells out as they pop up. But if the system is constantly stressed and not circulating properly, this is when those renegade cells can, in essence, set into the system and continue to propagate. So in her case, it was assisting her body to come to a much more relaxed state, also, you know, use some supplementation to assist her as well, getting her proper nutrition, what have you, and drainage.
Mm-hmm.
So we got it down to that size. Then they come up with the idea that they wanted to cut it out. And of course, in Canada here, I always tell people, check your life insurance policies, because in the fine print, especially on hers, it said if you refuse medical treatment and if anything happens after, that you would not be covered. So she decided to, you know, go ahead with having the surgery, have it removed. So pretty much open heart surgery for her. Unfortunately, during that process, they removed the tumor, but they also hit the phrenic nerve on the right side.
Oh, no.
So this caused lack of innervation on the diaphragm. So she could only breathe pretty much on the one side and was, you know, obviously unable to be able to work or do anything like that. So I was in a real scatter to find something to help her out. And I've been reading up on different devices, things like that, that, you know, was interested in trying out. Yeah. Well, I spoke with a colleague of mine who had been practicing laser for years, and he invited me to come down to a seminar and see what it had to offer. And of course, everything I was reading was saying that nerve regeneration was one of the key qualities that light therapy brought to the table. So I thought, this is right up my alley, and just intuitively, I just kind of had a feeling that this was what was needed.
Yeah.
So, of course, I attended the seminar, and he demonstrated curing this paralyzed woman. Her whole left side did not work, and she had been that way for 4 months from a stroke. In less than 25 minutes, he was able to get minor movement, and, you know, she was even able to turn her head to the left, whereas previously she had no movement. So I was duly amazed, and, of course, from that experience, got myself a laser and took it home and started using it on everything and anyone I could, including her. And so within 3 weeks, she went from 7-10% lung function up to 35%, and continued with her for the next 3 months and got her up to 85, almost 90% lung function.
Wow.
So it helped to regenerate the nerve, assisting her body. And of course, the healing's always done by the healer. These tools assist people in their journey.
That sounds a bit more effective than some pharmaceutical drugs.
Well, medications have their place, but I always try to go natural first.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So she got some lung function back, and then So you found a laser and we're working with that. And then what else?
Well, from laser, I learned a lot of different techniques and intuitively kind of created my own system of how to use it, using acupuncture points, trigger points, fascia release points, things like that. And I kind of created my own system. I had people pretty much flying in from, you know, all over the U.S. and Canada coming to see me with different types of issues and what have you. And so I became very adept at using it. But one of the things that I had a problem with was if anyone who uses laser, if they're truly honest with you, will tell you, there's about 18-20% of the population that laser is ineffective for. You can do everything right, keep it on the points, radiating the tissue properly, following all dosage parameters, but these people have an innate ability, in essence, to pretty much, have no effect on them. And that always baffled me why that was. And so, of course, I had to dig into my physics a little bit, and I learned that these people have an ability to polarize against the light and pretty much shut down its effectiveness due to the light's coherence. Of course, laser is coherent light, whereas everything else is considered incoherent. Like, the sun's a good example of that. Pretty much the light goes in every direction. It's not structured nor ordered. Now, laser light is man-made. You will not find an example of coherent light in nature. So, interesting enough. So, I was approached by a colleague, pretty much chased for about 2 years. He wanted me to try his LED device. And of course, based on what I knew in the research, LEDs and lasers, laser has far more research backing it up. And the technology for LEDs was kind of very poor at the time. Because the first rule of photochemistry is you need to have a significant amount of light delivered to where you want the action, the cellular action to occur. And laser, of course, gives you that tight control and dosage parameters. So, of course, I was not interested at the time, but at the same time, being out in the field, I was not aware of some of the advancements in the technology, the grouping of the superluminous diodes. So it was interesting. We had run into each other out on the road at one point again, and so he said, I'll give you a system. I just want you to play with it. Give me your feedback. I said, I won't even touch it unless it's got 500 LEDs. And he just kind of looked at me with his mouth wide open, and I said, well, actually, that was still a no, but he said, no, I'm shocked. He said, did you read up on this? And I said, no, why? He said, well, actually, the core system actually has 500 LEDs. So I was like, okay, I just pushed that in. So spirit let me know that this was something I should follow up on. So I took the system, and I thought, let's put this thing to the test. I had about 86 people that I called that I could get no results with. And out of the 86, I got 49 people to show up. It's amazing how quickly they show up when you say free.
Yeah.
I just wanted to try this out on them. And I wasn't going to do anything special or in particular with it. All I wanted them to do was just show me where it hurts. Let's put it on. And I could sit across from them, have a conversation. And, during the 20-minute session, we'll see what kind of pain reduction. Based on a scale of 1 to 10 pain level, if they were coming in with, 8, 9, and 10 pain levels, of course, some of them saying 11 to 12, but we have to quantify it. And so I tallied the results of the 49 people that I worked on for pain relief based on the scale. And what I found, 26 of the 49 people had 100% pain relief in 20 minutes. And some of these people I'd worked on with laser and got like zero results or, less than 10% shift. And so right away I was impressed. And then the rest of the group actually got 30 to 90% pain reduction. And as I said, it was simple. I just put it on, and obviously it required no more than me putting it on, taking it off for them to get benefits.
Wow.
So from a clinical basis, I was like, well, this is great, because now I've just duplicated myself, and now I can have two people at the same time. I'll work on them with laser and with the system. Well, from a teaching perspective of utilizing different types of light devices, it's kind of a no-brainer. This is far easier and so much more effective. I'm still seeing things happen with LED systems that I never saw with laser. And so it's kind of a cool experience to see something new every day.
Yeah, no kidding. And then to come across something that's actually been approved by the FDA, because
yeah.
Usually anything that's real effective, they don't approve. NASA technology too, right?
Well, a lot of the body of research behind LEDs was done by NASA. Dr. Harry Wellen, the University of Wisconsin, he pretty much took light and put it on everything just to see what would happen. And of course, he only used certain wavelengths, but his level of results is just astounding. And of course, this is where, you know, I think NASA was interested in it specifically was for using it on the astronauts when they're out in space.
Yeah.
When their body's in zero gravity, the fluids don't move properly, like your lymphatic system primarily. And of course, this needs to keep moving. Otherwise, it will lead to atrophy of muscles, their arms, their legs, what have you.
Yeah.
Of course, because of this fact, they have to exercise, constantly when they're out there. Mm-hmm. But by using light therapy, it helps to increase the circulation of the lymphatic system as well as the circulation system. Now, of course, the lymphatic system doesn't have a pump of its own, but the light can directly create vasodilation so that the lymphatic vessels are now open and larger so that things can move easier on physical movement. So
right.
I think that was their primary interest. It was, photobiomodulation is what we call it, helping the cells to continue functioning as well as moving.
Yeah, so it sounds like this device could be really amazing for anyone that's either not real physically active or unable to be physically active, that this device could help with increasing the circulation so that the body gets the circulation and the lymph movement that it needs, right?
This is one of the things I talk about in seminars. I'm always saying to people, movement is life. And so I'll never say that, exercise is not important. Of course it is, because you need to have that physical movement to get the lymphatic system flowing, because it has no pump of its own.
Right.
But using lights in cases where there's, not enough circulation or you've got, very contracted muscles, there's a host of benefits that occur. You're increasing ATP production. ATP is kind of like the body's currency for energy. If you're not producing it, your cells will die, which means you will. So light therapy can directly increase this energy production of this molecule, which your body kind of combusts at point of use to drive a cellular engine, which of course, in totality helps to drive you. So muscle contraction, nerve conduction, all of these things would not happen without ATP. So light therapy is actually shown in research based on Tuner Hode's work that it can increase ATP production by up to 150%.
Wow.
That's huge. And on top of that, it also assists the body directly to increase circulation via the release and production of nitric oxide, which is storehouse in the blood as well as the endothelial tissue, the inner lining of the blood vessels.
Yeah.
So light has the ability to assist the body to produce this. And of course, this is nitric oxide is pretty much invaluable to the body. It's kind of the precursor to initiate healing, relaxation. The immune system uses it for killing bacteria, taking out cancer cells. There's so many functions, and that's why when you have a device which can increase the amount of or production of nitric oxide in the body, there isn't really too much you can't assist.
And so right.
Even though you say, it increases circulation, people say, well, that's fine, but I think my circulation's fine. Well, circulation is almost always one of the key factors of any type of condition or disease because you have muscle contraction, you have compromised circulation. And there's where the stress factor is pretty much the feeling that's causing, most of these things to occur in the first place.
Yeah. So pretty much the underlying factor or cause of all chronic disease is inflammation, right?
Correct.
And inflammation is caused by lack of circulation?
Well, inflammation is the body's natural and normal response to when there's been an injury. Also, it's constantly conducting inflammation to help remove dead cells, get rid of bacteria, all these different things. But when you have inflammation, which becomes, you know, chronic, or it stays too long, or it gets out of the body's control, well, this is when it can become excessive. And of course, inflammation in and of its own nature pretty much creates a splinting action, as well as it creates compression on the blood vessels. So any place you have inflammation, you're going to have a reduction of circulation. It's just kind of part of the natural force of it. But by using the lights, you can assist the body to increase the circulation into as well as out of the area. And also, this will help to expedite the inflammatory process to go back under the body's control and then expedite it through so it can move into the next phases of proliferation and then maturation or remodeling of the tissue. So the body can fix the problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding is key to healing everything in the body is giving the body what it needs so that it can heal itself.
That's exactly correct. There's no pill on this planet that will pretty much heal you. Healing comes from within, and that right is completely of the person. And so these tools assist their body to be able to get through and, you know, complement their healing journey.
Yeah. Now, I thought there were a few different purposes that these LED light devices were approved, FDA approved for. Can you see real quick what those were? I thought it was pain reduction, reducing inflammation.
Well, the thing is, first of all, we have to use the proper language.
Okay.
It's FDA cleared. Devices get clearances. Pretty much pharmaceuticals, they get approved. So you have to use the proper language because they can get a little upset about that. So it's cleared for increasing circulation, reducing pain, as well as, you know, helping to reduce minor muscle aches and muscle stiffness. So that's pretty much the clearance that it does. But as I mentioned, you know, circulation is a key piece in almost every type of condition I've ever worked with and seen. And of course, you know, the pain thing's kind of straight up. I don't think anybody likes experiencing pain. And right. If it can assist that from a drug-free perspective, I'd say that's would be my go-to before, you know, any type of medication.
Especially with all the side effects of the NSAIDs and different painkillers. Wow.
There's actually four articles which were done that show and demonstrate that light therapy was equivalent in pain reduction to non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs.
Uh-huh.
And these papers showed implicitly that light therapy was equal, if not better, for pain reduction. And of course, when you line up the two of them together and then list off the side effects, light had zero. And of course, the pharmaceuticals had, you know, numerous liver, kidneys, possible issues, all these different things, allergies. So,
yeah. So, how about nerve regrowth? How does it work for that? You talked about using a laser for that, but then found that the lights. Did you say that you also found lights helpful for that?
Oh, very much so. It was the nerve regeneration aspect that I was really, really trying to harness when I started using light in the first place. There's research articles that have shown how light therapy will actually increase the growth rate of nerve cells and increase their regeneration capacity. And that's one of the, you know, the key pieces of research that I looked at before even going to the seminar to see this in the first place, because I thought, well, I don't want to see placebo effect. I want some true scientific data to back this up. And of course, there's over 4,000 research articles on PubMed using light therapy on all different types of conditions, from common cold to cancers.
Wow.
The general public has no idea.
Right. Yeah. I know that I had laser treatment done one time on my sinus. It was starting to congest a bit, and I was seeing someone that was doing Rolfing and pulled out this $18,000 laser light machine, and I was like, whoa, cool, and let me use it. And I was amazed at how fast my sinus cleared up and stayed clear that night. Amazed.
it's quite rapid.
Yeah. But I had a similarly awesome experience with these light systems. When you were in town showing them in May, I got to use the lights for 3 days in a row, and each night, those nights, I slept so much better than I had been sleeping. In fact, I've been sleeping better overall since, but on the fourth day, when I didn't have the light system, I didn't use it, that night, I woke up at like 4 in the morning. I, again, was back to not sleeping so well, and I was wondering, what is going on? I was like, wait a minute. Holy cow, those lights really helped me sleep. That's amazing. So I knew there was something going on because I had enough going on that it wasn't like I had less stress going on those days or anything quite like that. There was more going on for me those days, but I still slept a lot better.
I thought that's one of the things I hear all the time when people will come out, you know, listen to the seminar, try a session. It's like, that's probably the number one feedback we get is like, wow, I slept all the way through the night. Didn't wake up once. And that's huge because, you know, when you're sleeping, this is when your body's actually trying to recover itself.
Yeah.
It's going into, you know, heal and regeneration mode. And of course, you know, if we're lying there and we're stressed, our muscles are contracted, this is obviously a very damaging impediment to our healing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned that sleep is when our bodies actually get to recover and repair and fight off whatever infections might be trying to brew up here and there in our body. Because when I was working in corporate land and stressed out all the time and things were just crazy everywhere, I noticed that it was harder and harder and harder to sleep through the night, and that it had a lot to do with that stress. And then even throughout the day, especially on the days that I didn't get enough sleep, I would notice that I was a lot more susceptible to getting sick, catching colds or flu or whatever else, just or stuffy sinus, anything was a direct effect of not getting enough sleep. And so I realized how important my sleep was. I had an idea before that, but it really was a good reminder that I have to make sleep a top priority so that I can feel good each day. And the better I feel, the better I feel like I can get through the day and do what I want to do that day and feel good doing it.
Yes.
Makes such a huge difference to feel tired and energetically just those are not my favorite days. I notice on some of those days when I don't get enough sleep that the whole day just energetically in comparison is horrible.
Yeah.
So I love getting sleep, and I love finding tools that help make that happen. And I noticed that with these LED light systems.
Well, and that's, as I mentioned, it's a core principle for anyone's recovery from anything. Light gives you so much more, like on a cellular basis. It can expedite wound healing tremendously. What I've seen in clinical practice is broken bones usually heal, in half the time.
Right.
Like same with cuts, burns, abrasions, stuff like that. You're looking at they're healing, twice as fast, if not even in some cases three times as fast, and no infection, which is even cool. Certain colors of light will actually kill any bacteria, such as blue and the higher colors.
Wow, that's wow. Okay, so let's see. That circulation, I think that it's not just circulation in the vessel, in the blood vessels, but also I think, like you said, it helps the bones to heal faster. And so it's can you speak at all of how it helps the bones?
Well, that's primarily one of the benefits of when you're using the lights, you're helping the body to produce nitric oxide. And of course, you're increasing the circulation. But one of the benefits of what nitric oxide itself provides, and research backs it up, is it helps to increase osteoblasts and osteoclasts, their growth rate, proliferation rate. So this is thereby how, you know, the lights release the nitric oxide in essence is promoting the more rapid bone growth and restoration.
Wow. I wonder, and so what about with nerve regrowth? Is that similar?
Very similar. It's you know, the nitric oxide is released. It's the precursor to activate the proliferation and regeneration of the different nerve cells. It kind of works on all the different tissues of the body, you know, your ligaments, tendons, skin, whatever you put it on.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that it's, you know, the light's not magical per se, it's pure applied science.
Right.
Using photon energy to help stimulate and trigger the release of the body's natural chemicals, and then you create a cascading response throughout the body, and it becomes cumulative very, very rapidly.
Yeah. And so I've seen you use, and I've had it used when you were setting it up on me, also putting the lights around my mouth to help with reducing infection and bacteria in and around the mouth and the teeth, right?
Well, primarily, I developed a protocol primarily to start working with the jaw, because what I find is, of course, here's where the stress aspect comes in. The muscles in the jaw will actually fire and contract, even if you don't clench your teeth. And of course, this creates a big impediment directly to the blood supply to the jaw area. Most people are walking around with, you know, some form of TMJ, the joints, you know, incurring some issues. And I did a lot of research and looked back into what they call neuromuscular dentistry. And this was a phenomenal topic for me, because it really explained why a lot of my clients would actually be progressing very well, and then all of a sudden we kind of hit the wall and they plateau. So when I learned the principles of neuromuscular dentistry and how important the occlusion specifically is to our health, like pretty much the occlusion just means how your teeth come together from the left to the right. What I found is that neurologically, the oral cavity is so highly sensitive. Back in the 1950s, Penfield and Rasmussen, they wrote a book called Cerebral Cortex of Man. And what they found is that in the oral cavity, or in the mouth in and of itself, based on your central nervous system and your peripheral nervous system, which, you know, they have their feedback loops, what they found was that over 50% of all peripheral nervous system feedback to the central nervous system occurred in the oral cavity, in the mouth.
Wow.
So it has priority over everything else in your body. And this is kind of why you can take a hair or an eyelash, put it between your teeth, and you can tell which one's thicker. We're talking thousands of an inch, but you can actually tell. You just have no way to actually, you know, gauge it and put a measurement to it. You can just do a comparison and go, yeah, that's definitely thicker. Because we have that sensitivity and neurological acuity there. So based on this principle, just your brain has to be able to set your posture. And so it uses the oral cavity, specifically the teeth, from left to right. So when your teeth come together, whatever side touches first becomes pretty much your first contact point. And then, of course, the jaw then has to continue to close. And, of course, this puts the jaw slightly off angle. Well, when this occurs, whatever angle is maintained from that basis, your brain takes that as base. So more or less, it says, this is what you're neurologically feeling as flat. And so what happens is now it's giving this feedback directly to the central nervous system. And of course, the central nervous system is sending it out to your motor neurons. And it's causing, in essence, if you draw a line down the center of your body from the top of your head right on down through, what you're seeing is now you have a mild sympathetic engagement on one side of your body, which is reflecting the occlusion or what's going on in the mouth. So you'll see if you look in the mirror, you'll see, you know, one eye is more open on one side, the shoulders higher on that side and the hips higher on that side, because you now have this mild sympathetic engagement, which is your brain is maintaining just to keep you standing upright. And you don't even realize it. Well, this has huge implications on a structural basis. And of course, as I mentioned before, if you have muscles that can't relax, because this is occurring while you're standing up, while you're lying down, sleeping, it's always on because your brain has said, this is normal. And so this is where, you know, a lot of the problems will get started, and then everything else compounds on top of it, because now you've got one side of your body which does not have the ability to fully embrace the parasympathetic, so that thereby it can heal itself and recover and just do normal routine maintenance. So once this is, you know, impacted into the body, the structural issues can start to occur. You know, of course, people's backs, obviously your spine, if you were to look at it, for most people, has a mild scoliosis type, you know, condition now, because the shoulders high and the hips high. So this can lead to, over time, even spinal torquing and twisting. So here's where the chiropractors come in, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, on a neurological basis, adjustments don't per se, you know, they'll hold, but at some point, when they have another stress incident occur, this causes that contraction to become amplified, and of course, it will cause the, you know, the spine to sublux, and of course, have more problems. And of course, you have to keep going back. But the occlusion is pretty much what's, you know, holding the basis of everything to go out in the first place. And then, of course, when we add stress on it, it directly impacts your structure. So from another basis as well, because we're just talking directly from the back and how you stand, it's also causing, you know, over a while, quite a while, you'll have clenching on one side more than the other. And the brain doesn't like that feeling, that tension. So this is where it'll reposition the head forward. And in doing so, this creates even, you know, more severe consequences, specifically to the blood supply, the carotid artery and the jugular vein, the vagus nerve trunks on both sides of the neck. So I can have direct interference with that. That's part of your parasympathetic system.
Right.
So it can impede that, as well as directly affect the thyroid. And it's usually the source of most people's headaches. When the head goes forward, structurally, you're creating a lengthening condition, and it's pulling the brain out the back of the skull, thereby torquing the dura mater. It's kind of like the wrapper of the brain. And now you're compromising blood flow. And lo and behold, just the last 6 months ago, they found that the brain actually has a lymphatic system, which goes right up the back of the head and over top of the brain. So this is part of the reason why the congestion here, and this, to me, this is just a lead into, they're finally going to figure out why people with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's have amyloid plaque in the brain.
Because
every one of those people you've ever seen, their posture is blown and their head's forward.
Right. Yeah. So can you talk about using the pads on the head and the brain, and would placing them on the back of the neck and head help to stimulate that lymph drainage from the brain?
Well, it helps to increase circulation. So it's increasing the blood supply in as well as out of the area, also helping to create the same vasodilation principle in the lymphatic system. So is it going to help assist your brain to drain better? By all means. Also to get circulation, you know, in through the jawline as well as the neck. It also helps. Been doing a lot of work with people with traumatic brain injury, all types of different neurological conditions, even PTSD. And just by wrapping the head pretty much in light, you know, we get a certain amount, depending on the thickness of their skull, of course, which is passing through. And I've worked with a group that has done SPECT scans, and we've been able to quantify how much they're showing changes. The SPECT scans take a very detailed look at where the blood flow is going in the brain and where it's not. And of course, wrapping the whole head, we can use these scans to kind of gauge their progress. And it's interesting to watch as well how their emotions, you know, they stop having fits of anger. They don't know why. It's helping them, you know, psychologically be able to cope better. They're much more calm, relaxed. Their cognitive function is better. There's a whole host of things that they were pretty much keeping an eye on to see what was changing. But the spec scans actually allow us to see the progression. So it's been amazing work. And of course, this also leads right directly into children with autism, ADHD. Uh-huh. They've done numerous spec scans, which show with a lot of these children, the frontal lobes have very deficient in blood supply, which is the same profile as a stressed adult not getting enough blood supply to the frontal lobes when they're stressed. Mm-hmm. So just by putting the lights on the child's head just for a few minutes can drastically relax them and assist them to be able to think clear, make better decisions, help some of the emotional stuff also goes away. It's phenomenal.
Wow. Amazing. So these machines, so having one around the house could be helpful for the one person using it, but also to share, because doesn't it only take like 20 minutes to run it through a cycle typically?
Yeah, pretty much when you put it on, it's default. It runs 20 minutes on an area, and there's really not much need to go more than that, just because you want to avoid what they call accommodation, which more or less is putting too much light on an area, because it's not like it's going to hurt you or burn you. It just pretty much, you'll exhaust the cell tissue. The idea to use with light is to create a stimulatory effect to get the cell tissue to get busy. We don't want to exhaust it. And so hence, this is why putting it on a 20-minute time cycle, for the general population, you'll never have a problem with any place you're putting it. Of course, I like to adjust it per age and physical size, but, because some people get a little crazy. They want to put, 20 pads on themselves, but it's kind of overkill. With light, more is not better. It's giving it the right dosage, the right amount of time. And, of course, then you let the body take that energy and put it into whatever is needed for healing. But, so many things you can use it on.
Yeah, so I've read some good stuff about the infrared saunas. How does this compare?
Well, infrared saunas, you're still using light. It's just not visible light. Mm-hmm. Anything on the electromagnetic spectrum qualifies. So the difference with infrared saunas, and of course, the majority of the ones that are out in the market are only what they call far infrared. Mm-hmm. So what this system uses is near infrared. So I need to quantify the difference here for you. Mm-hmm. If you look at the electromagnetic spectrum, you'll see right beside the visible spectrum, which we can see, which is red, orange, yellow, and progresses through into violet. And then, of course, on that opposite side, it goes to ultraviolet, which, of course, we can't see. Mm-hmm. But we sure can feel it when we go up in the sun and get a burn.
Yeah.
But with infrared's more, there's three sections to that bandwidth. And, of course, this is based on the wavelength, pretty much the rate of oscillation of that specific energy, because all light is electromagnetic radiation. The only difference between infrared and visible light or any of the other, microwaves and what have you, it's all the same energy. Its oscillation rate is different. So that makes a big difference relative to how it's received or not by the body. So a lot of cases, the body is very almost transparent to the far infrared and or the mid infrared. Whereas with the near infrared, since its oscillation rate is higher, when it comes in, it's absorbed highly. So you're able to dump, the higher, shorter the wavelength, of course, the more energy you're able to donate to an area to bring it up to a point of photoionization and get actions to occur. So it's really based on the proteins of the body. You have to pick the proper wavelength to get this to work. And this is where the far infrared saunas work great. You've probably heard lots of testimonies from people saying, it's gotten rid of my arthritis and all these other things. Mm-hmm. But the body is a little more semi-transparent, and it creates a warming effect. And you're using a significantly large heater to be able to, give this energy to the body. The principle of it is to increase the body heat or hyperthermia to kick on a false fever. And of course, once this occurs, now the body is kicking on different chemical reactions, increasing mild metabolic rate. And that's the body's natural defense is to kick on a fever to solve the problem. And so bar infrared red saunas are fantastic for doing just that and very beneficial. This device works on a different principle. It does create a warming effect, but it's much more localized, so we can target it instead of having to introduce it to the whole body, which is still beneficial. But we can target things much easier with this. And interestingly enough, the research on your far infrared as opposed to near infrared, there's a tremendous difference. Probably 85% of all the research that's been done on infrared in general, which would be far, mid, and near, is all the research that's triggering cellular functions and reactions is the near infrared. The far infrared doesn't have the potency per se to be able to trigger nitric oxide release significantly. So that's not one of the principles that you're getting with that. It's more from the heat, metabolic increase, things like that. It also doesn't have the ability to increase the ATP production. Near infrared does due to the energy density that's being received. So regardless of the power level, it has no implications here. So it's very wavelength specific on which proteins will absorb that specific wavelength. And of course, this is where the research comes in and backs it up, showing, you know, if you want to increase ATP production, nitric oxide release, you have to use the near infrared or above to actually do that. And near infrared has the ability to travel deeper into the body, you know, up to 4 inches with what this system puts out. Now, of course, your red and your blue, they can go, you know, 8 to 10 millimeters of thickness of a dime. So you're still getting into the soft tissue, but they don't have the ability to penetrate as deep. And of course, blue is highly absorbed on the surface. So you don't have the ability to get blue down to the bones to create an effect. So this is where the near infrared will still penetrate to the level because you have to deliver the light where you want the action to occur.
Right.
So that's one of the big differences between them. It's, you know, this has the ability to support the body in doing the chemistry, whereas pretty much with the far infrared, you're heating the body up to encourage the chemistry to start going. And of course, that's not always going to be the case for some people due to the fact that, you know, you're not triggering an actual cellular cascade. It's more or less just relying on the body's own natural resources to pull off the fever. And of course, if they're not doing very well, it's not a very good idea to put them into a fevered state on a systemic level, because you're just putting them in more of a problem.
Yeah. Huh. So, okay. So if somebody wanted to look up to find a little more information on some of the studies that have done, say on PubMed, is there something they could look up? So LLT or LLLT for low level light therapy.
Yeah, you can go onto PubMed and you just put in the search bar when you get on the front page. You just put in LLLT space and whatever condition you're wanting to research, you know, arthritis or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, and the associated research will show up out of the, I think it's 4,600 articles that are in print now, the last time I checked, might even be more now. So yeah, it'll pull from that body of work that's on the site, and you can enjoy reading some of these research articles.
I think there might be some academic folks that might appreciate that sort of thing. Wow. Okay, so could you talk about so I know that your intuition has been pretty amazing, and I think that probably started with some of the martial arts stuff that you've done over the years, but have you noticed the light sets help with that at all?
Many people use the lights in conjunction with helping with, you know, their meditations. Like me personally, I've been using it for a long time. Putting the lights on and then going through meditation, you're just amplifying the benefits of your meditation. I put lights on some people, and pretty much, you know, when they get out of the chair, they're like, you know, my God, I just had an out-of-body experience. And I've heard that quite a few times, but you know, it's there's no guarantee on it. people have used that, from, I guess, a spiritual awakening aspect for themselves. Of course, that all happens in their own time. But once again, I've had people come off the lights and just go, wow, that was amazing. I don't even know. I went somewhere. I'm just not sure where. So.
Yeah, I think I've experienced something like that on a real slight scale. But yeah, somehow there's something about it. Anything else that you notice or people notice on the spiritual side of things and using it?
Well, as we said, each personal experience is unique to the individual.
Yeah.
People that are doing yoga and meditation, things like that, I've gotten lots of feedback from them saying, like, you know, their meditation practice, they're sleeping better, all of these things, and having spiritual awakenings in some cases. So, but you know, I don't think the FDA is going to put any type of clearance on that anytime soon.
What about like miraculous healings that you've seen people experience? Can you explain any examples of that you've seen?
Well, I've seen people who have had chronic, long-standing injuries, like a knee injury. Like I think I've heard the story 100 times, but I haven't heard it once. It's like they had a knee injury from playing high school football, and it's nagged them pretty much their whole life, or something that happened 20, 30 years ago, and pretty much put them in a chair, wrap up their knee, and take it off, and it's like the pain's like gone. And wow. In one session, they're saying, well, how long will it last? I said, well, I don't know. But in some cases, it's like the pain left and never came back. I talked to them like months later and they're going, it still doesn't hurt anymore. It's gone.
Wow.
And there's science behind that, because in a lot of cases, if you damage an area, if it doesn't have the ability to regrow the blood vessels in that area, the capillaries, then it's always going to be underperfused, which of course can lead to a nagging pain. So just using it once releases nitric oxide. Nitric oxide's other benefit is angiogenesis, helps to stimulate the body to produce new blood vessels and capillaries. So just from that one shot deal, we stimulated that area to produce maybe one or two capillaries, which was all that was needed to clear up that pain response so it never showed up.
Yeah. Repair the cartilage or whatever else was going on in there.
And they're no longer able to tell the weather by their knee.
Right. What about, I've known people that have had to get knees replaced or hips replaced. and from what I've learned, that's kind of scammy of mainstream medical to be pushing those operations on people rather than helping people heal what's actually going on in the body. Have you seen people be able to avoid having to get those surgeries and then restore the use of their knees or hips?
Yes. I've seen complete recovery of knees, hips, worn out joints, things like that. But it's a slow process, because usually, once they're getting scheduled for some type of operation, obviously it's something they've been dealing with for quite a while. And the level of degeneration there, of course, I have no way of knowing unless, of course, the doctor has given them a report on it by doing sloping, what have you. But I have had clients who, in essence, were scoped. The doctor said it's bone on bone. You have no choice but surgery, and you got bone degeneration. I've worked with some of those clients from 4 to 6 months, and I've seen complete regeneration. And of course, there's some that it helped to regenerate, but they still they still had some issues with it. Whether they continued to do it faithfully or not, I'm assuming not. But I always say the only way light works is by putting it on.
Wow.
So, but yeah, people with hips. Hip issues, things like that. I've seen where the doctor said there's degeneration, and they go back in, and pretty much they're saying, we must have made a mistake. It's totally fine now when they scope it again.
Wow. Let me just say real quick for everyone listening, if you go to earthiswakingup.com/Wes, W-E-S, and you click on the special offer button, there'll be a page there where you can look through some of the information on these LED light systems, and then there'll be a form if you want more information. Just enter your information there, and we'll have someone give you a call. So let's see, what else could we cover on this? I had a question on cavitation. Can you speak at all on that?
Well, cavitations can be a big issue. I find that a lot of cases they're evident when I'm working with somebody with a degenerative condition. But of course, I'm not qualified to be able to do the X-rays and what have you. Using EAV, this is one of the best ways I've found to detect them. I also know of certain people who have what they call a cavitat machine, so they can kind of check relative to, it's like a electrical/sonogram test on the tooth to establish what level of circulation or possible cavitation may be there. These are actually medical devices, but they are no longer being produced. Interestingly enough, the FDA pretty much put them out of business. Probably because they were so dead on accurate and the underlying issues extent. Like, to me, disease starts in the mouth and it takes root in the meridian system within the teeth. If I've got dead tissue underneath the tooth, that's sitting in a live pathway.
Yeah.
So it kind of defies logic to have dead tissue sitting in a life energy pathway. It's neutralizing your life or blocking it from being able to go to the meridian system, which then provides the energy for the physical tissue to pull off its chemistry and function and follow suit. So this is where cavitations can be tremendously damaging to someone's health. And there's from 1 to 4th level cavitations. So I've seen, and this has been confirmed by dentists, because of course I don't have access to the X-rays, what have you, but based on what they were able to see and or through different testing, with EAV, I was able to test, and I've seen pretty much, they go back to the 1st and 2nd level cavitations. I've seen those completely cleared. I've seen the 3rds sometimes will shift to the 2nd, and sometimes they'll get hung up. So the further you go towards the 4th level, the less chance you have of getting it fixed. But 4th level cavitation, I have not seen lights have the ability to fully, get those out. Those usually require the surgery to be able to clean that dead bone out.
Uh-huh.
Usually a 4th level is pretty extensive, and you've got it, it's right into the marrow of the bone at that point. Creating some serious problems.
Wow. So cavitations, it sounded like, just to be clear on what those are, is that a cavity or a root canal?
No.
Or
what? No, it's an infection that starts underneath the tooth. And then what happens is it slowly will work its way into the jawbone. And so you'll end up with a pocket. And what happens is the bone will start to necrotize or die. And when it does, it turns into a black, oily, liquid substance. But now you've got an anaerobic bacterial infection in there.
Oh, wow.
So there's no circulation because anaerobic only works in the presence of low oxygen. They've linked cavitations back to heart disease, pretty much.
Huh.
It's a pocket of infection which slowly leaches into the rest of the system. And that's where you've probably heard the story where somebody will have a tooth extracted, and next thing they have a heart attack. It's because they loosened up that infection and it hit the bloodstream too quickly, and of course caused a heart attack.
Oh wow! So sounds like something that could be related to root canals as well.
I don't have the evidence to say that would be for sure, but most of the people that I've ever tested, under almost 80 to 90% of those root canals, I have definitely it's shown up on the EAV that there's definitely a cavitation there. And once again, if you're letting a dead tooth sit in a live pathway, it just doesn't make any sense to me, and it's going to create an impact.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting information. And so the benefit of the light system in those cases, would you say it helps improve the situation, but not able to fix it because the infection still exists? Or,
well, I have seen people using the wrap in the jaw. I've seen, and their dentists have confirmed it. They've had cavities regenerate, cracks in teeth. They'll seal up. The gums actually stop receding, and they'll even have even grown back in some cases. Through checking pocket depth. As for cavitations, like I said, they're a bit of a special breed in and of themselves, but okay. One of the reasons that they show up is due to, bacteria in there. And of course, if you're using lights on the area, you're increasing the circulation in the lymphatic drain. Your lymphatic system in the jaw, specifically with the teeth, your teeth are, they appear to be solid, but they're really not. One molar has 3.5 miles of tubules or canals in it. And every time you swallow, it compresses the lymph nodes underneath your jaw, which if you've ever had the mumps, you definitely would know where they are.
Yeah.
You swallow, the muscles contract, and it pumps those lymph nodes. And this helps to push the lymph fluid in. It'll push in through the gums. And, of course, it also irrigates the tooth, and the lymphatic fluid kind of leaches out through the tooth. Now, what Weston Price found was when you put white sugar in the mouth, that lymph flow reverses. And it's just white sugar that does it. Brown sugar, cane sugar, all that stuff doesn't do it.
Huh.
So here's one of the problems. Obviously, people eat a lot of white sugar or sugar-based stuff. But when you can restore that lymphatic flow properly in your teeth, regardless of what's going on there, you're doing something good for yourself by helping to reduce and keep the infection down. You're helping to restore the tissue, better circulation. You're also stimulating new capillary growth. Hence, this is why the gum's going to come back with people. But it's not much different than anything else. No one's ever told you that you could actually regenerate a tooth. So just go. The dentist says it needs to go. I guess I got to take it out. Well, I say otherwise. I've seen it. I've experienced it.
Yeah, I think I'd seen that Weston Price, at least on the website, had talked about some of that, how to regrow teeth and so forth.
Yeah. Light therapy just expedites it.
Nice. I love it. It seems like the light therapy seems to expedite all of the processes, that the beneficial processes of the body and healing and balancing things out. I guess I'm wondering if somebody was looking at trying to find a way to resolve something going on for them, what do you think might help them decide on the light machine or not? What are some of the major points that would help them feel like they knew what they needed to know to choose one way or the other?
Well, one of the things is, as we said before, it's cleared for pain and reducing circulation. A lot of people will use these, like with neuropathy type conditions. They've had great success with it because, of course, it's helping to increase that circulation. And of course, this can lead to reduced inflammation and pain as well. So anything with if you're looking for a side effect solution for your pain, I highly suggest giving it a try. Living a life where you're chronically in pain, and then taking pharmaceuticals for it, it's not doing your organs any good at any point in time, but, obviously it's needed, but there are other options. And of course, any type of condition that you're dealing with, lack of circulation is always a piece of that puzzle. So this is why I just look at it as, my light system is like my medicine chest. It's my first go-to.
Wow.
So, without going into great detail on all different types of issues, conditions, I say to people, put it on it and let's see what happens. Because the only thing I can legally tell somebody is it's, increases circulation, reduces pain. But what I try to do is educate people on why those things are how important your circulation is. It's kind of one of the core components. If you don't have it, then that tissue is separate from the system. And then it's going to start heading towards degeneration. Of course, the body has to deal with it on some level.
Yeah. And so I guess I just wanted to point out price wise too for anyone listening that's considering anything, any big surgeries or anything that costs a lot of money like that. I know knee surgeries are what, like $5,000 to $10,000 each, out of pocket, I think. And so that adds up quick, not to mention the side effects and the other problems. And then the lifespan of those replacements usually is not all that long either.
I don't know. That's not my line of work.
I've known some people, and yeah, it's not an ideal situation.
Well, I've had lots of those conversations. People coming to me, it's like, yeah, I had my back operated on, then I had to go back 6 months later and have it reoperated, and then it just becomes a soap opera relationship with their doctor. That's one I don't want. So.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either. that's really a big reason why, a big part of the reason why I'm bringing a lot of this information onto the summit. I want people to see what else is out there and available, and to learn that trusting somebody else, especially in the mainstream medical system, with our health, our number one prize gem of life, to somebody else without actually getting involved enough to learn and educate ourselves is, you know, we might as well just shoot ourselves and get it over with.
I always suggest that at home.
But just the value of educating ourselves and taking charge of our health is so important. And the more that we can take our health back into our own hands, the better. And this is one of those tools that I see that really helps allow us to empower ourselves with what our body needs to be able to heal itself, so that we can feel great and healthy and pain-free, or at least closer to it, depending, and so forth. So, all right. So any closing words, anything that you would like the listeners to walk away with, if there was, you know, some key ideas?
I have clients, sit down and they'll give me a whole list of things that is going on with them. And so I always like to say this little bit. So I'm going to say, I got good news and I got bad news. And they're like, okay, so which one do you want first? Give me the bad news first. I said, well, your health is your responsibility. I said, well, what's the good news? I said, your health is your responsibility. The question is, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. That's some wisdom right there.
And light is one of the best things that I personally think. Obviously, I'm a big proponent of it. I've been internationally speaking about the principles of light and what it can do. There's so much research going on. Like over in Europe, they're light years ahead of us, pun intended. But in North America, you know, light therapy was kind of kicked out back in the 60s, and then of course it made a reappearance in the 80s, you know, due to the equine field racehorses.
Right.
Pretty much would get injured, and of course in North America they were only using pharmaceuticals, and they were seeing these horses that were on the track over in Europe, and next thing you know, they would have devastating injuries, but then these horses are back on the track running again. And in some cases, even pulling in better time than pre-injury. And the people in North America, how's that happening? So when they went over, they saw that they were using, you know, light therapy, photobiomodulation. Mm-hmm. That's what have made a return to North America. And it's been a silent return, but I've been trying to bring attention to this as much as possible to just let people know that there's another option. Like, I have no issue with Western medicine. What they do is what they do. I would love to see a day where, you know, an integrative approach could be used and, you know, less invasive techniques. We didn't, you know, come into this world with a prescription or a receipt in our hands to live the rest of our life. To me, it's ludicrous. There's got to be better ways, and I think this is one of the best things I've seen.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I am all about finding tools that are effective and make life better, easier, healthier, feel better.
Thank you.
All of it.
Thank you for doing this type of work, because informing the public that, you know, these things are out there. So thank you very much, Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Wes, for coming on the show and speaking and traveling and speaking about it wherever you go. I know that I've seen that you've done a lot of talking, a lot of traveling, a lot of research on your own, a lot of working with clients. As I read in your bio, is that you're actually still doing sessions, personal sessions with people when you're home.
Yeah, I try to avoid that as much as possible, but I'm not home very often. My family kind of likes it when I hang out with them.
Yeah, and it's always better when we can empower people to take care of themselves better, right?
Yes.
I'm a big proponent of that as well. So I wanted to say to everyone listening again, if you go to earthiswakingup.com/Wes, W-E-S, go and click on the special offer button. It'll take you to the page that shows a bunch more information about these LED light systems. And there's a form on there as well. If you fill that out, we can get someone to give you a call and get back to you with some more information. Thanks again, Wes, and thanks to all the listeners.
Take care.
Take care. Much love.